B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
This girl create pressure, but if the quarterback is getting rid of the ball at 1.5, there were a couple passes out there where Ryan was getting rid of the ball in 1 second. I mean, when it's 1.5, 1.3, you need the quarterback to at least hold the ball to at least 2.4 to at least get some type of pressure.
And Trey, I agree with you, but we've seen this 2 weeks in a row.
I know.
I mean, Case Keenum almost threw for 40 yards on us, and he wasn't getting that ball out that fast.
Matter he fact, worked he the pocket, though.
Matter of fact, we would have lost that game if Jonathan Allen didn't get hurt, because we weren't running the ball for nothing until Allen got injured and was out that game. Then he opened up the middle of the field. You know, so this is a problem that we have. We knew it was going to be a problem coming into the season, and I really think that the Eagles will address this before they will address cornerback.
All right, Shane, thanks for the call, man. Good stuff. I appreciate it. 610-632-0975. 6 o'clock hour is brought to you by United Rentals Power and HVAC for all your power generation and as well as HVA credentials. You got to make sure you're checking out United Rentals Power and HVAC in the Tri-State area. Visit UnitedRentals.com. And you are listening to 97.5 The Fanatic WP in Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast. I don't understand why a coach wouldn't acknowledge his aggressiveness. Yeah. If it's something that everyone has been wanting to see and wanting to see more of. And by the way, it's worked against a guy like Matt Ryan in the past. And the example I brought up was the safety blitz by Rodney McLeod in the NFC Championship game, the divisional round of the playoffs against the Falcons a couple of years ago. Rodney McLeod ran up to halftime, Jim Schwartz dial up the safety blitz, Matt Ryan off his game the rest of the way. But you were able to get him off because of blitzes. You were able to get him off his rhythm because of blitzes. You were able to get home because of those blitzes. You did that again in this game against the Falcons, really more so than ever against Matt Ryan. More so than ever, I thought, we saw Jim Schwartz blitz. You saw those zero packages, those zero blitzes coming to the house and getting home, getting there, at least getting quarterback hits out of it. And Matt Ryan, I read this yesterday, first three interception game in 2 years because of how much pressure you were putting on him. So it worked. If you're Matt Ryan, you were playing a little scared, and you certainly looked like it. You were forced into some bad throws. Well, the Nate Gary interception in the end zone.
Yeah.
Matt Ryan wasn't throwing that because he felt comfortable. Matt Ryan threw that because he was trying to get rid of it.
Yeah.
And Nate Gary made a great play on it. But he was in the right place, right time.
Yeah, I mean, the ball was thrown in his numbers.
And then he tried to come out of the end zone to do it. Just
what is the rule here now? Like, so you can try to get out, but if you get tackled, they just put it out to the 20 anyway? Because I was shocked at that. I'm like, please don't tell me this is going to be a safety.
Yes, stop. Take a knee.
Well, I think where are you going?
Yeah, I thought he
take
was
a knee. What are you going to do? You think you're going to return the ball 108 yards?
Yeah, no.
I mean, come on, man. Take a knee. You're running to the sideline.
So
getting the ball out of bounds at the 5 yard line?
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was
take
gonna
a
be,
knee.
I thought it was going to be down at the one.
Yeah. It looked like the ball almost got out of the line of scrimmage.
I don't think it would have been a safety, but I thought
he would have got the ball on the half yard line.
Yeah.
Take a knee. I know everybody you want to get the interception. Look at me. Watch me dance. Man, if you don't get your ass down so we can get the ball on the 20 yard line.
So here's Jim Schwartz yesterday when asked. I don't know why you just can't admit it. Here's Jim Schwartz on whether or not he was blitzing more than usual yesterday.
Yeah, I don't know that we really blitzed a whole lot more than we did in the first week. It was maybe a little bit more all-out blitz, just a couple snaps here and there.
Like, did you hear the dismissiveness in the first 2 seconds of that?
Well, what
Jerry, give me that just the first couple seconds again.
I don't know that we really blitzed.
It sounded like our boy Mike Kern.
You can put pickles on if you want. I don't know. I don't care.
But I listen to that. I'm like, come on, man. Like, we've been wanting you to be more aggressive. And for the most part, it worked. If it wasn't for maybe a block in the back against Mohamed Sanu, maybe that game-winning touchdown by Julio Jones doesn't happen on that screen that they made the adjustment to.
Yeah.
Credit to the Falcons. Good play. Good play. Mm-hmm. You saw what the Eagles were doing. You exploited it. Applause. But when you look at what the Eagles had done throughout that game up until that point, it was working.
Yeah.
Forcing interceptions, three of them. Yeah, it was working pretty well. Stay that aggressive. My point, you're going to need to be more aggressive throughout the rest of the season as long as you don't have Malik Jackson, as long as you don't have Tim Jernigan, as long as you're relying on an unproven commodity in Hassan Ridgeway, as long as you're proving on an unproven commodity like Akeem Spence. you're going to need to send those blitzes if you are going to try to get pressure to the quarterback. Because as much as I like Derek Barnett and much as I was high on him before the season started, a lot of that was based on how good the interior defensive line was going to be. Mm-hmm. And now you don't have that strong interior. So now it's got to come down to the corners. It's got to come down to the safeties.
Yeah, you're going to have to do something to help create pressure, because right now, what the offensive line, what offensive linemen are doing, especially when it comes to Fletcher Cox, they're jumping him. You know, I think a lot of times you saw where before, where Fletcher was getting a lot of pressure, guards were making the mistake of setting back a little bit and allowing him to build up momentum. And he's the type of player that you need to get in his face right away to stop him before he builds up that momentum to get that good bull rush, and then he'll work you with other moves. So you saw a couple times where they moved him around. You know, they put him out there on the tackle. They put him out there over the right tackle. They put him over the left tackle. They put him inside. But it wasn't double teams all the time.
But well, real quick, you say they're jumping him.
Yeah, they're jumping him.
What does that mean?
Well, because because Fletcher Cox liked to line up with his inside foot back, right? So that means that he has to get two steps down before he can work inside. So if his inside foot is back, he has to take a step upfield, and then that second step comes, and then his third step is what comes at you.
So does it mean that are they attacking him as opposed to
him? Yeah, they're jumping
coming?
In his foot. They're jumping him. So they're getting him right as that first step is coming down. Now, if his outside foot is back, that first step can kick down, and then his second step can get into the player. But because he has his inside foot back, he has to take two steps before he can work into the player. So guys are jumping him because they know that, you know what, I don't want to set back, because if I mess around and let his third step get into me, it's going to be a problem, because he's going to come with the bull rush. Then he can work all of his moves from there. So you see a lot of tackles, a lot of offensive linemen are getting in his face because he knows he has to take that first step upfield. And if he starts to slant, you should be able to see it because they start leaning. You saw it one time with BG where he was lined up over the end. He started leaning a little bit, and they switched off the stunt real quick because any tackle can see, you know what, he's going inside. If his outside foot was back, then you could take that one step and then work inside a little bit quicker. But if your inside foot is back, then you have to lean to try to make it work. You know what I'm saying? So that's what a lot of guys are doing against Fletcher Cox. They're jumping. I mean, you saw it one time where he went out there over Matthews, and Matthews was like, damn that. 1-2, bam, got in his face, jumped him, shut him down. So you start to see that's what the recipe is against him. I always said, if I were to play against Fletcher Cox, I would jump him. So because he has his inside foot back.
Is it his own decision to go inside or outside foot, or is it diagrammed for him?
Some players, that's how they rush.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? So,
right.
So some players, they feel like, you know what, this is how I've always worked, and that's just what I'm going to do. I always felt like when you teach pass rush, you should be able to work moves from each foot back. You know what I'm saying?
Okay,
so
whatever you're
going to do, it shouldn't always be inside foot back all the time, because you want to change out the timing of the offensive lineman. If you're always lining up with the same foot back, you're always going to make contact at the same space. So, you know, that's why I've always like, all right, change up. If you have inside foot back sometimes change it up. Work that outside foot back, because now you can come 1-2 instead of it being 1-2-3.
All right, wow. Now that was a lot of information to digest.
That's awesome. I'm sorry.
Sorry,
it's
a lot. Me?
It's a lot.
Love that.
You know, it is a lot. It's a lot.
Actually, I missed it. Could you start over? No. That's an interesting thing with Fletcher Cox, because a lot of times, like, and we talked about this last week about getting double teamed,
mm-hmm.
and your eyes shot up like, yeah, it's not happening as much as you think.
Yeah. I mean, now there were times where they did slide to him. Mm-hmm. Of course, you need to a couple times, but then there are a couple times where you're just like, hey, guard, we can't slide to you because there's a blitz, or because of the way the protection is, we got to go the other way. So, hey, guard, you got to man up.
Mm-hmm.
And then there you go.
All right. So that's the defensive side of things.
Uh-huh.
I think, do we all agree on this one here? That the Eagles have to be more aggressive with their secondary. And as a kid who grew up in this era with the Eagles, other than Jeremiah Trotter, I am programmed to not really ever believe in linebackers. Like, hey, it's nice to have them, but they're never someone that you depend on to have a huge game for you. Mm-hmm. So I only look at members of the secondary, really, when it comes to getting after the quarterback if it's not going to be your defensive line. So is this going to be the new Jim Schwartz, or should this be the new Jim Schwartz to be this aggressive?
Yeah.
Going forward?
Well, you got to have that's the problem. You know, when you start seeing your corners getting, I mean, abused out there, then it makes you, it causes pause where you're like, all right, do I want to put Darby out there on the island? Do I want to put everybody out there on the island because I have to send the safety?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you better get home.
All right, so when we talked about it yesterday, why not have more press coverage?
Yeah, I would say... Yeah, I would say to get more, be more physical. Let's get up in their face. You have to throw the timing off. You have some decent rushers out there. I think you have some good rushers out there, but you have to give them time when you're getting rid of the ball at 1.7, 1.3, 1.4, you know, 1.5, 1.8. That's his first, you know, first two series.
Yeah.
You know, that's, you know, you got to give your defensive line time to get there. You know, and I know everybody goes, hey, well, our rushers should get there. Not if you don't have the coverage, or if you're not throwing off the timing and getting in the quarterback and getting in the receiver's faces, throwing off their timing routes. Because if you sit up there and give them all that cushion, they dink and dunk you down the field.
Even that Darby interception Sunday, they brought everybody, and they had three guys in coverage on three receivers. That was it. No help at all from safeties, right? And they were still off of them. Ryan made a bad throw. He threw it, you know, he had to get rid of it early, and he threw it deep trying to get, I guess it was Julio, might have been Ridley, I don't know, and he threw it short, and Darby intercepted it. But still, they were still off. And my whole thing was, well, you see the blitz coming, you get the ball, boom, you hit the guy right off the line. Now all he has to do is break one tackle. I don't understand why they're not doing the press coverage like you talk about.
That just seems like an obvious thing to do. If you're not able to get after the quarterback and you need more time, why not delay their receivers a little bit with a little tight coverage right at the line of scrimmage instead of giving them that cushion?
Yeah.
Now, the other part of this is obviously the offense and the struggles here. Maybe you can explain this to me.
Okay.
But it seems like Doug Peterson, he knows at least what to look for.
Okay.
When it comes to the struggles in the first quarter. Now, Jeff McClain of the Inquirer was asking the question. You can make it out here. I boosted the audio so you could hear the question. And if you can't make it out, basically he's asking him, you did a self-evaluation last year, and you had the same struggles going into this year when it came to not being able to score in that first quarter. So Jeff McClain says, what did you find out from last year? Here you go.
When you self-scouted last off season, what would you find was the number one reason for pass score and points?
And how
you tried to address that issue?
Yeah, I just have to find the magical place.
He doesn't like him. He has a disdain for Jeff.
Because Jeff asked the tough questions.
Yeah, and nothing against either one of them. I've been through many, many, many of those in my career. But it's funny. You get the big nose breathing going on, and
that's when you know Doug's irked. Yeah. He did it on Sunday after the game.
That might have been at the microphone guy who couldn't get it working. But
Nose breathes when he's ticked.
Yeah.
That's what I picked up
on
Doug.
That's his tell.
Yep. That's his poker tell.
Yeah. We're talking about tells yesterday? That's Doug's tell.
But if we had only known he needed the magical plays.
The magical plays.
Duh.
Trey, what's a magical play?
The ones that you can call and everything just works out perfectly.
That sounds. I want one of those.
Let's do those.
Where do I get one?
Those are amazing.
Are they at the end of a rainbow?
Maybe so. And it hangs out in a pot of gold.
Yes, that's where that playbook is.
I want to know where to go.
What's the magic play? You know who I think had the magic play? Nick Foles. Now he's not here anymore. What are you gonna do? No magic plays. Huh. Where's Phil? Have you seen Philly Special?
What magic play?
Have you seen
the play that he called where? Hey, I want to be awesome.
Were the Eagles two for two? Were the Eagles two for two with Philly Special and Philly?
Okay.
I'm just saying it's awesome.
That's a magic play.
And there's not just one. He said magic plays.
Yes.
Yeah, there are magic
plays. There seems to be some magic plays in the fourth quarter.
Yeah. Numerous.
Now, this got me thinking about a worst case scenario. Like, leave it to me to find something that made me feel terrible about it. But it led me to believe in a worst case scenario if they did decide to run one of those magic plays. Tell you what that is in a second. We got AJ, we got Chris, we got you after that. 610-632-0975. In 48 minutes, now 47 minutes, we'll talk to Adam Schefter. Mm-hmm. Get the latest on Jalen Ramsey and all the rumors that surround the Jaguars' corner. 610-632-0975.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
So this is inspired by how our listeners have taken this to another level on social media. I threw out the story about they want to remake Princess Bride,
Which, in my opinion, you're damn right, Bob.
There's no Andre the Giant out there, Mark.
You know who would probably play Andre the Giant right now?
Joel Embiid.
That's not bad.
Wow.
And they bought a warm peanut.
I was going to say the Undertaker.
But no, he's all skinnied up now.
That's right.
JoJo lost 25 pounds.
About that.
Yeah.
Or Bobby.
Put fluff, yeah.
Bobby
would be good. And he's
perfect.
An actor anyway.
Yeah,
that's
better.
True.
He's already an actor.
That's right. He was a John Wick.
Yeah, uh-huh. I watched that movie.
You watched the John Wick with the Bobby and whatnot.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
How'd Bobby do?
He did good.
Yeah, is he pretty bad?
Yeah, the movie,
a massive
I can tell.
Kick. It was a long kick. I mean, it was a kick from a 7-footer. I mean, you know, it was like, a lot of kick, though. It was a lot of kick.
Sorry, real quick. Did you see Bobby sit down at the World Championships? Sat down at the press conference, and the guy goes, any questions for Marjanovic?
Silence?
Nothing.
Oh.
And Bowie's like, okay, bye. And he just left. And then somebody tried getting the question. He's like, too late, bye. And he got out of there. But this is inspired by the people that are now retweeting us. Movies they actually do want to see remade. So we made this not our Twitter poll today. It's a Twitter question today. Sam, what do we have?
This morning, you said it's a question. And it's brought to you by Window Nation. Take advantage of Window Nation's 50% off sale on all style windows. Plus, make no down payment with no payments and no interest for 12 full months. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com. And we asked, is there any movie you want remade? And to comment below. We just put it up so we don't have that many. But the best one so far, I think, is E.T.
Really?
Yeah.
E.T.?
Yeah.
They want to make a remake of E.T.
Imagine how cool that could be with all the graphics
and
stuff.
Hold on, is this your own opinion on this one? You said,
that was somebody else that tweeted it in, and I just said, agree with them, Trey.
Okay, so you're agreeing.
Wait, hold on a second.
Yeah.
The person that tweeted it in, their name is Reese's Jenga partner.
Yeah, I would love to play.
It's like Reese Hoskins.
I would love to play Jenga with Reese Hoskins. So they're cool people, I guess.
There we go.
Okay, so E.T.
Yeah, E.T.
Huh.
The Last Jedi, a couple people said, because it sucks.
No, there's enough of the Star Wars movies out there. I'm out.
Yeah. Somebody said Wedding Crashers, which is, no.
It's not that old.
It's not old, and it was so good with Owen. Is it Owen Wilson?
Owen Wilson and the Vince Vaughn character. Vaughn.
Yeah. Motorboating.
Exactly. That movie was just on. Like, my mom is a very proper woman.
Oh, okay.
And that movie, let me just say this. Not that my in-laws are not proper. Uh-huh. They're nice people. But I will say,
like,
not as proper as his mom. It sounds like he's saying.
Well,
Jed,
I don't know what to imply.
No one's as proper as Mrs. Farzetta.
All I'm
apparently.
Saying, let me just say, here's the perfect way to sum it up, okay? I grew up around Christmas. I grew up with A Christmas Story being the movie that we would watch. Huh. My wife grew up watching Christmas Vacation,
which is awesome.
Do you see the difference?
That movie is awesome.
Ain't the question what's awesome. Do you see the difference?
I love Christmas Vacation.
But do you see what I'm saying here?
Okay, yeah, that is what it is.
So, like, that movie, Wedding Crashers, was on, and my mom was sitting in the room, and I could just see her cringing. And I was like, wow, at Wedding Crashers.
I watch that every Christmas.
What, Wedding Crashers?
No,
oh.
Christmas Vacation.
Oh, well,
Christmas Vacation
I do
awesome.
Now as well.
Yeah, it's a
now
great
that
tradition.
I'm an adult and I can watch movies like that.
Now that you're allowed.
Yeah, now that I'm allowed in my own household. But that's a question we're throwing out there in honor of them talking about me remaking a movie like Princess Bride. I do like the idea of a remake of White Man Can't Jump.
Mm-hmm. The worst remake, there's two really bad remakes of sports movies.
Hold on. Longest Yard?
Longest Yard is one because you couldn't. You shouldn't have done it.
Okay.
You shouldn't have done it. And the other one, Brian's Song.
Oh, yeah.
I was a little kid. Now, Brian's Song was a movie. Yeah. Brian Piccolo and so it was James Caan, Billy Dee Williams. Like, you want to talk about cry. I watched it the first time with my best friend. I was in, like, 7th grade, and
I got to go to the bathroom.
You know, it was one of those. You can't cry in front of your best friend when you're in 7th grade. That's a tearjerker. You couldn't remake that one, and they tried.
Yeah. Phenomenal movie. That's true. And was that made for TV?
Yeah, it was. Ah. Yeah, it wasn't in the movie. Theater, I don't believe.
All right. Now, we were talking about magical plays.
Okay.
Am I a bad person that, where I, like, my thought is, I want to see Philly Special again. I want to see Philly again.
Yeah. Right, I'm done.
All right.
He can't remake that.
Yeah, we're done with that.
Yeah.
It's over with. Carolina tried it, and it just flopped.
Well, Chicago tried it, and Trey Burton couldn't even throw the ball. Yeah, he literally went up to Nagy and said, yeah, I got too much anxiety first. I can't do it.
Yeah.
And they did something different. But what I'm saying is, do you think Doug would ever call it with Carson?
No. Let's let it go. It's over.
If it's a play that worked twice, Yeah, would you ever run it with Carson if you're Doug Peterson?
No.
Yeah, third time. What if he gets blown up?
No, I don't want to put him in that position. That's not even the worst thing that could happen.
Oh, he drops the ball.
He drops the ball.
He pulls a Tom Brady.
When Doug Peterson talked about needing to find those magic plays, I was like, well, what magic plays is Doug? And the first thing that came to mind was Philly, and Philly special, right? And I'm like, oh, well, will he ever put Carson in that place?
Philly.
And the first thought I had, Bob, was exactly what you said. Well, what if he gets hit? You don't want him getting hit anymore. And then I was like, no, wait, is that even the worst scenario? The worst case scenario is they run that play as a magic play, and Carson drops it. Imagine that.
Yeah.
Am I a demented sick person?
Hands would start coming out.
Jamie, do you even want to touch that one?
What's that?
The idea that they would run. If Doug's looking for magic plays, there's no more magical play than Philly or Philly special.
Is there any tells in it, Trey, where you know it would be coming at this point?
I'm pretty sure there is.
You think teams are on the lookout for it?
I haven't studied it like that, but I'm pretty sure there are some tells, especially when you see the quarterback step up and line up right behind the tight end or tackle that's right there. I'm pretty sure that because Cam did the same thing, and it looked like they played it to a team.
Yeah, I feel like it's getting kind of beaten to death.
But I feel like once it's
on Madden, yeah, let it go. Yeah.
when they ran it the second time, though, when they ran Philly, which was the first game of last season against the Falcons.
Philly.
When they ran that play, I don't remember. Did Nick step up and do the lane thing?
I don't think he did.
I don't think he did either. But what I'm saying is, if they run that play, first off, if you're Doug Peterson, would you ever call that for Carson Wentz?
Sure.
Would Carson Wentz want to run it?
See?
Because he already had a problem with running those Nick Foles plays.
That's right.
Ooh.
That's right.
So
I envision it now.
Well, maybe, kill.
Yeah, we're not running it.
Maybe he shouldn't have a problem running Nick Foles' plays.
Yeah, because they worked. Yeah.
Yeah.
And by the way, it's like let's stop acting like Nick Foles like had some special like no one ever played ran those plays before in the history of the NFL. So like if I'm Carson Wentz, let's broaden my horizons a little bit here and not just label it as Nick. But if you're Carson Wentz and that play call comes in, you better not drop that football. Let's get to AJ Westfield. Hey, looking for those magic plays. Nothing more magical. What's going on, AJ?
Morning, show. What's up, y'all?
Hey, bud.
All right.
Now, listen, the movie I want to remake is The Last Dragon. Oh. I'm sitting there trying to go
with Show Nuff?
That's the rhyme. Gotta play Show Nuff.
Oh.
I don't know who's going to be Bruce Leroy. Might get me out for the female. But they got to redo The Last Dragon.
He got to catch the bullet in his mouth, though, man. You see now, when the hair start glowing and you got like a little S curl going on, man.
Uh-huh.
And Show Nuff come up there with the Chuck Taylors on.
Yep.
Working karate with some chucks on, man. Some low cut chucks.
The Last Dragon, that's what I want.
I saw that movie when I was like 12 years old.
Oh, yeah.
Changed my life.
Oh, yeah. When he caught the bullet.
Got the bullet.
In his teeth. Yeah. And then he started glowing.
And their arms start, like, shadowing.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Come on.
All in.
Now look, y'all know I love y'all, but I got to holler at Trey today, especially.
I'm listening.
What the Eagles need to do against the Lions. All right. Now, all I want to see next Sunday is all pancakes. And you know what I'm talking about, Trey.
Mm-hmm.
If both of my wide receivers is out, my backup tight end is out, why am I drawing up pass plays? I swear Carson threw the ball 50 times last week and should not have. Me, and I think this is the reason why I wanted Duke Bailey to be my offensive coordinator, because he ain't never going to call 50 passing plays. He's mixing the run in.
Mm.
You know, we could have had Mailata come in as the third tight end, and that linebacker number 45 for Atlanta, Deion Jones, the fast guy, he would have been having Mailata pancakes. We would have had all type of grass stains and yard markers on his jersey because he'd have been pancaked into the ground every play. This week we got to get back to the run, don't we, baby?
Yeah, I think so. Back. Yeah, you definitely got to get back to the run. I'm in agreement with that.
And who can do it? It ain't gonna be Doug. It ain't gonna be Gro. I think it got to be Deuce stepping up, saying, "Listen, I got 10 plays for Miles, 10 plays for Howard, and at least 8 to 10 plays for Sproles." They touching the ball. Whatever y'all going to call besides that is cool. We're running the ball 30 times against the Lions, man. I think this is the cure. This helps Carson. This takes the pressure off the receivers. And if you want to help them cornerbacks, You keep that defense on the sideline and let them running backs touch the ball, man. Tell them, Trey.
That's great. Yeah, AJ, thanks for the AJ, that's great stuff. That's all great points.
Yeah, very.
And I've started to think about this more and more, and as they have struggled more and more in that first quarter, is one of the biggest mistakes that we haven't talked about, and really as a fan base haven't talked about enough yet, is one of the biggest mistakes hiring Mike Groh over Deuce Daly as the offensive coordinator to this football team. I know Deuce Daly is the assistant head coach.
With the way the running back rotations go, I don't know.
Yeah, but you know what?
Like, Jordan Howard needs to play more.
I agree.
Sure.
And how is it that Sproles is so highlighted one week and then just totally taken out the next?
Well, I mean,
I don't understand. See, I know you're playing a smaller, faster defense, but still, you needed spark offensively. You relied on it so much week one, you go totally away from it.
And Miles Sanders missed a couple chip blocks on the right side to help out Lane. Like, he's, I don't want to say a liability because I still believe in the kid and I think he's going to be great, and it's only two games into his career. You needed help on Sunday, and Miles Sanders wasn't it.
All right, so
they called a couple plays.
Well, real quick, Trey. No. Who is responsible for that rotation? Is it all on Deuce, or is Doug making requests as to who needs to be
they
out there?
They kind of throw each other under the bus with it.
It happened a lot with Chip. Chip just flat out said, yeah, I don't know, that's Deuce's responsibility.
But Deuce week one was like, yeah, there's no real rhyme or reason, and Doug was like, yeah, that's Deuce's job. And I'm like, what?
Right.
Yeah, I don't know who's position that is. I don't know if it's based off of the formation, whatever the play is called. Do you say, all right, hey, this is the guy that runs that play? But I'm looking at certain formations. You can help yourself where I'm looking at this play that I'm going to show you guys that a game was on. If you would have just said, check, let's run a run right up the middle of this, the way defenses are attacking these guys right now, if you check out of some of these passes into a run where you have these wide, you have D tackles lining up pretty much outside of the offensive tackles, and then the DNs are outside of them. If you just check into an inside zone run, the running back can hit his head on the goalpost. All you need is the tight end to get up to one of the linebackers. I mean, wait until I show you this play once we go into our next break. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, we had a full-on film session at the break, didn't we, Bob?
I love it.
Yeah, literally. Like, Trey was pulling it up and be like, this guy needs to set vertical. What the hell's his problem? That kind of thing. Let's get to Chris in Pensauken, and you're on 975 The Fanatic. What's up, Chris?
Morning, boys.
Yo.
It just got the youngest one off the shadow at CCHS, Bobby.
Nice. So there you go. Yeah. Like to hear. Maybe is it a he or a she?
It's a she, just like my oldest one's at Rowan. She knows your boy. She played fast pitch softball over there. So.
Oh, okay. I got you. Well, hopefully my daughter's not shadowing her. Because they'll spend a lot of time in the cafeteria, I think.
That's all cool. That's what I did in high school, too. long as they get payment, they're all good over there. You know that. Go Irish.
There you go.
I gotta tell you, I couldn't agree with Trey even more, man. There was gaping holes, and I'm not picking on Carson. We're when he first got in here and we drafted him, they said he had this like X-ray vision and he can see things and he called all these plays in college. But he's not doing it in the pros because I think he might be a little selfish to get back to himself, because I'm a 52-year-old guy that really doesn't do anything besides work at my shop and take care of my family. I looked at some stuff last night that's kind of interesting. He has 30 INTs, and I love him. I think he's a franchise quarterback, don't be mistaken. He has 30 interceptions since he's been with the Eagles. 14 of them have been in the first quarter. So if I have a team that's all analytics, I'm going, there's a problem there. Number one, I don't know what it is, but number two, why wouldn't I use Trey or whoever said it, run a little bit more on the first quarter and just get him more relaxed. And since Roe been there, and I don't want to see anybody lose his job, that guy can't do his job, but he's been with Roe for 13 games. They scored 30 points twice, man. Twice. Yeah. The guy just can't do it. He might be the nicest guy. He might be coaching my kid at CCHS. I don't know. he's just over his head. And my dad always said, man, you know, but you got to work within your means before you go outside of the box. And I just think we're passing way too much. 51 times the other night, like Trey said. I mean, I played in high school. You're looking right at the TV. Trey, he doesn't even have to give it. He just has to turn on the TV. You'll see it. All he has to do is check out of it and then do his own read. They're asking number 15 and 20. And as far as the running back committee, Doug came out and said they send them in with packages. So if Trey can run block, he goes in at tackle. But if he can't pass, but if he pass blocks, he doesn't go in and run. I've never heard of that. And there's one too many running backs in the kitchen. Just work two, three. Apparently three isn't working, man.
Yeah, apparently it's not, Chris. And thanks for the call. They need to find whatever combination, whatever's going to work as far as having those guys out there that are most skilled and most able to help that particular play. Have those guys out there. It shouldn't be a guessing game for Doug Peterson to look out there and go, oh, wait, Sproles is out there?
Yeah, if I'm Doug on Sunday, I go, wait, they're getting pressure on Carter in the first half. They're getting pressure every other play.
Okay, so
who's my best blocking running back? Get him in there and don't abandon the run.
So Doug talked about the game after game one, after week one. He talked about how, there are things we saw with Darren Sproles that we wanted to make sure we could use him to exploit weaknesses, right? Right. The Redskins. So that was Doug's decision.
Yeah.
That wasn't Deuce's decision.
No.
So how the next week are you telling me, that's up to Deuce?
I don't know.
That doesn't make any sense. See, to me, it just comes down to, especially with Doug Peterson, offensive-minded head coach, it comes down to the head coach making the decision who's going to be out there on given plays. Now, I don't know, maybe Deuce will notice that, okay, well, we've had this guy out there for that many times, now it's time to get Jordan Howard in there, or now it's time to get Miles Sanders in there, or whatever it might be. But for the most part, I would think it's, 85, 90% Doug? I would think.
I would think it's part of the game plan.
Exactly.
Like you just said for week one. Which is
I don't know. That's what I was going to ask Trey. Is it specific? Do you run plays and then fit in personnel for that play, or is it whatever plays run and then do you think Deuce is just throwing a running back out there and whoever's out there should be able to run that play?
I don't know. I think it's dependent on the packages and you're just saying, all right, this is the play that's going to be called. Hey, you're in there on this particular play.
Okay.
I personally, I think Westbrook has talked about this as well. When you have that running back by committee type situation, the backs don't get a feel for the game. So you keep coming in and out of the game and you're like, you're trying to get yourself back into it and then you're right back out. I kind of personally like, all right, who's your starter?
Yeah.
Who's your starter? And then, all right, you move on from there. You know, all right, you're the backup guy. You're the one that's going to spell him every now and then. But here's our mainstay, and let's go get it.
As much as you're trying to keep the defense off balance with a thunder and lightning, mm-hmm. you're keeping thunder and lightning off balance because they don't know if they're coming or going.
Exactly.
That just does not make any sense. It never made any sense to me. 610-632-0975. 7 o'clock hour brought to you by Univest Bank. When it comes to business insurance, business as usual doesn't cut it. You need an insurance partner, you need Univest Insurance. Set up your free consultation and analysis today. Visit univest.net. 610-632-0975. Coming up, 20 minutes. All the rumors regarding Jalen Ramsey and a trade, possibly, hopefully, to the Eagles.
The rumor, yes, sir, is one NFC team has made an offer.
Could it be the Eagles? We'll talk to Adam Schefter coming up in a little less than 20 minutes. 610-632-0975.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
Coming up in about 10 minutes, we'll let you know how you can win up to $10,000. And we'll also hear from Adam Schefter of ESPN. All the latest on anything revolving Jalen Ramsey. When we visited this earlier, we were talking about who are you willing to give up with the Eagles? Where it would sting a little bit to get Jalen Ramsey, because it might come down to that. If Howie Roseman doesn't want to part with a first-round pick, and I would give up a first-round pick, considering the Eagles' first-round pick, I believe this year will be between, 25 and 32?
32, let's cross our fingers.
Yeah. Like, that's where you could go right now. So if you don't want to give up that pick, it's going to be somebody that hurts a little bit that might be involved in a trade here. Zach Ertz's name, more so, and obviously why more so, because you don't want to get rid of that talent, but money-wise, business-wise, he might make the most sense.
Yeah, I'm still not done.
You're out.
I'm out. Keeping Zach
Ertz. You're looking at me like, don't even consider it.
I will. I hear you. It's a business move that warrants head scratching. And if you have Goddard to be that, up and coming, he's the next one. Okay, and it frees up money to do other things. Business wise, yeah. But I think it's more than a sting. I think it's like I said earlier, a shark bite.
Gotcha. Dennis Springfield, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Dennis?
Good morning, guys. Hey, so many things. Before I get to my running point, though, that Deshaun Jackson abdominal strain, I don't know about you, but that sounds like it's got sports hernia written all over it.
That crossed my mind, and I thought those two words would get mentioned if that was the actual case. But being that it's not, I'm crossing my fingers that it doesn't develop to that point.
Yeah, I'm hoping it doesn't either.
Yeah.
It went from being a groin injury to now an abdominal strain, and that just doesn't sound, especially for a speed guy.
Yeah, absolutely.
That doesn't sound good.
No, same thought, yeah.
And throw this name out there for Jalen Ramsey, since everybody's down on him, Miles Sanders.
I'm not ready to give up on that yet. I don't think, Dennis.
You got to get someone to get something.
Yeah. But like, if you're Jacksonville right now, are you looking at Miles Sanders as, oh, yeah, this guy's definitely going to be worth Jalen Ramsey? Like, you don't know that. You got to get a proven commodity for a proven commodity, and I don't think Miles Sanders is that proven commodity yet.
Yeah, I just care about the Eagles side. The hell with that.
At least you're honest.
Yeah, you're going to, Dennis, yeah. I like you're fleecing the Jags. I like it.
All right, my running point. I'm tired of all the parrots out there, callers, analysts, post-game live, you name it. Gotta run the ball more. You know what? I want the Eagles to come out this Sunday, run it 60 times, gain 2 yards a carry, and win 6-3. And maybe we can put this run the ball crap to rest.
Well,
Wait a minute.
I'm asking you a question.
Go ahead.
Why is it crap to run the ball? I mean, it's part of the game.
It's not crap to run the ball, but to act like that we have to run it 50 times is ridiculous. Our buffoon of a Super Bowl winning coach had that team in a position to win that game with two main wide receivers missing and your backup tight end missing. Nelson Aguilar makes a catch, they win. Zach Ertz gets half a yard. They have first and goal with 35 seconds left with a crap running game. Yeah. With a running game that did nothing. So, you know, you want to run the ball more? I want to run the ball more. But to act like you have to run it 60, 65% of the time.
I don't think people said that.
It's never going to happen.
I think we realize that, Dennis. Yeah. And thanks for the call. This is just a bad time to bring that up.
Yeah, I think, and I get what he's saying. I mean, just running the ball isn't going to solve everything.
Sure.
You have to be more effective when it comes to running the ball. It's too many lost plays. It's too many stalemates where you're not getting push. It's not an effective run game. Now, you want to always be productive, getting like 4 or 5 yards on the run, 3, 4 yards on the run. I get that. Just calling run plays isn't going to get it.
Right.
You have to be more effective. You have to be able to get the ball upfield. You have to make it. It has to count.
Yeah. Kraft tweets in. Oh, sorry, Bob. No, Kraft tweets in a good point. He said, this reminds me a lot of the 2017 season. First two games of the year, they ran the ball 24 times for 58 yards, and the next game only 17 times for 107 yards. They went 1-1. Starting in week 3, they ran the ball 30-plus times every game.
All right, well, real quick, you just showed us this thing, though, Trey, and this is why I say it was bad timing. Uh-huh. You just showed us this play where Carson had what looked like a check down to a run wide open for him.
Yeah.
And didn't go to it.
Yeah.
I'm
trying to word it right now. I don't know if I want to talk about what broke up the conversation in our tweet or if we should just write it as is. Because, you know, Bobby started talking about something personal.
No.
Maybe we'll get to that later. But, no, Bob, you had something on the run game as well.
Well, the thing that Dennis said, first of all, I don't think we were saying 65 to 70% of the time they have to run. We're not saying that. I think establishing a better running game, as Graf and Jamie just pointed out, is advantageous to your team. But also, Dennis, you got to keep in mind, the more you run the ball, the less Carson gets hit. And the more you run the ball, you're playing to your strength right now, which is your offensive line. Look, they may have played poorly last week and maybe even the week before, and Trey's shown us stuff that is of concern. But it's still one of your strengths of your team. And now that you're so depleted at wide receiver and tight end, it has to become a big, big strength of this team.
And
so you have to take advantage of it.
It sets up the play action, which is the foundation of this team.
Now, when it comes to running the ball, and I've been watching a lot of the film, and I went back and watched some of the coach's film. Big Isaac, man, he's gonna have to come on with it. He's gonna have to come on with it. He needs to create push. There's too many times where I see him getting pushed back. You are the guard, which is the tip of the spear when it comes to these combination blocks. Your guard has to be physical, especially when you're in a three-point stance and we're expecting for you to one. You have to be the one to create movement. It can't be a situation where you're getting pushed back. Too many times I see him getting pushed back when it's a run play, and we can't have that when he's stepping, because it throws off the whole track of the running back. You saw a couple of times against Washington where he was 3 yards off the line of scrimmage on some of those reach plays. You have to change the line of scrimmage, meaning you have to push that defensive line back instead of it can't be a stalemate. Now, there are times when JP comes behind him, they create movement. Now, when you go over there and you look on the other side of the ball and you have Brandon Brooks down there in a two-point stance, he is firing out the ball, creating movement by himself. But guys, you got to come on with it, man. You got to come on with it when it comes to run blocking. Even when it comes to protection, he's giving up way too much push. As an offensive line, center and guards create the depth of the pocket. Tackles create, they establish the width of the pocket. It's too much push coming from the guard's position, especially on his side.
All right, so are we worried that this is going to be the more norm for Isaac Seumalo, or are you confident that this is going to be? Well, I agree with you, but are you confident that Isaac Seumalo, because let's not act like Isaac Seumalo is some 10-year vet. Like, he's been getting some kind of respect around the league. He's some 10-year vet for it. This guy is still learning his own way in the NFL. He was a rotational guard as recent as last year.
Okay.
So at what point do we look at him and go, oh, wow, is this a huge cause for concern for the future, or is this a flash in the pan?
No. You got to correct this as a coach. As a coach, you need to see this, and like, this should be topic number one when you come into the meeting. Where, hey, look, Isaac, we can't keep having this, man. Mm-hmm. You're getting beat with some of the same stuff that was happening last year, where you have some of these wide guys, even on that formation that I just tweeted out, you have defensive tackles that are lining up outside of the tackles and then the ends outside of them. You can't set vertical at that position. You need to be a little bit more flush at a 45, because JP is trying to drag a little bit, but when it comes to switching off the game, he's getting picked apart because the defensive tackles are so far upfield. You can't have that.
No, real quick, the 3rd and 10 that you tweeted out, you just tweeted out the screen, you took a picture of the play, basically, and there's two ends, and then there's nobody on the defensive line in the interior. No D-tackles.
No D-tackles in the middle. Yeah, well, the D-tackles are outside of the offensive tackles, if you look at that. And then those are D-ends that are out there. That's a four-man front.
Okay, yeah.
So your D-ends are standing up. Your defensive tackles are lined up outside, on the outside eye of 5-eye.
97.5, The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.